Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Worst Idea of All Time Season 5. I'm Tim Batt and let's be honest, should we put all our cards on the table? I might have gotten too high for this. I have for the last 10 minutes because I was out. So two things happened. I was a little bit ahead of you guy in the film.
So I remember.
You had just a few minutes to catch up on to get to me. But then also, I forgot to like click the next button on Zoom to like join. You know, I thought I did all the things. So in the meantime, I've been trying to find out what movie we just watched because I think it was titled wrong on the file. And I cannot for the fucking life of me figure out which made-for-TV film this Emmanuel was, directed by Francis LeRoy, who, as it turns out, directed all of them. If you scrub to the end credit, okay, if you scrub to the beginning credits of this film, it simply says the word Emmanuel as the title, which is incorrect. And then if you scrub to the very end credits, you know, where normally you'd have like copyright and then a whole bunch of Roman numerals and then the title of the film, it lists all seven of the made-for-TV movies. What did we just watch? The reason I needed to find it out is because I cannot wrap my brain around the plot of what I just saw. And I thought that the internet would be able to help. But instead of helping, it has sent me into an even deeper mystery.
I hear you. So I've tried to figure out. I just believed it was Emmanuel Forever.
Forever?
No,
I thought that was the
love.
VR one.
Emmanuel's Love. That's what we watched last time, is Emmanuel Forever.
Yeah.
It would make sense that these two were made right next to each other. Those are both listed as being from 1993.
They're all made in 1993. Listen to what I'm saying. All the French made-for-TV films are 93. They're all directed by the same guy. They have the same fingerprint. They are identical twins. It is impossible for us to use forensic DNA to tell who committed the crime.
All of those ones, they made seven. That is such a busy year.
I think they shot them all out at once, which is
that
why...
That would make sense for the framing device that has been repeated since our previous outing with Emmanuel, which
honestly,
is
what
Sylvia
did we watch?
Crystal and George Lazenby sitting cheek to cheek, just reminiscing on some fucks.
How fucking long is this plane ride, brother? Because she's already explained like many years of sexual conquests in the film we saw prior. And now we kick off whatever Emmanuel this was, and you're telling me there's still more flight to go? If they keep this up for seven movies, man, I'm going to have some serious questions about this, plane that they're in.
Run the numbers. What is it? These movies are 90 minutes in length. So what we've just spent 3 hours flying. After we've seen four, we will have spent 6 hours. And after we've seen... I can't do math much more.
Are you going seven times 1.5? It's 10.5 hours in the year.
This could be a 24 style narrative device whereby
that's cool.
The stories are being told in real time. We're actually experiencing a flight. Hopefully one of them will just be both characters sleeping and us free to explore anything else. But these just like non-arousing reminiscences.
But we got to figure it. Like look, this podcast is going to suck if we can't report back on what happened. And unfortunately, I've whipped myself into a state where I couldn't really get a good grapple on the plot.
Oh, come on. We can do that without the help of the internet. You just got to believe in yourself.
Oh, man. I took some notes, but they're all over the shop.
Don't have to worry about that. So here's what we know. This takes place after Emmanuelle Forever because it's already assumed that she has the powers. In fact, at the start of the film, the first thing that happens is they use like a flashback voiceover to be like, Emmanuelle went to the Tibetan caves and came across a monk and was given a special potion, and now she can fuck as any woman on earth. And then bang, you're on the plane with Emmanuelle. So we know that it takes place after that. We know that she's got the same powers as discussed in the previous film. They actually very bravely risk exploring these powers even further. And she uses them with bizarre discretion. The first application she has of her magical potion or perfume is she's sort of like Hitch. You remember the Will Smith film Hitch?
I can't. I know I've watched it, but I can't remember it. He's like a Cupid relationship setter up.
Yeah.
Is Kevin James in that movie?
Kevin James is in that movie. He's like the star client of Will Smith's character. So depending who you ask, Will Smith's either a pickup artist. Hey, what are you frantically doing over there? It's really stressful.
Just taking my shoes off.
Hey, before I describe the plot of Hitch, how are you doing?
I'm all good. I just am confused and frustrated that I can't figure out which Emmanuelle this is. I want to do right by our audience.
Our audience don't care.
I don't know if that's true, man. The people got to know.
I think there's no reason to doubt it's the Emmanuelle that was listed on the tin.
Emmanuelle's Love. I think that's what it was called. But when I searched that, it talks about her going to the Tibetan cave. Anyway, sorry, continue with the
I know what you're saying. It talks about her going to the Tibetan caves. And if you read the user reviews on IMDb, the only scene anyone seems to have enjoyed is when she has a threesome with two women giving her a sensual massage.
Yes, so that's the wrong film.
We don't see any of that in this film. I understand what you're saying. But there's so little detail about that particular one. I've got no reason to believe there'd be any more.
And they're all directed by the same person. And they've all got George Lazenby and Sylvia Christel, who I found out in the credits sings the theme song.
Oh, can we actually talk about how baller that is for a franchise? Like, just the production schedule and strategy behind securing Lazenby, who obviously demanded a pretty hefty fee for how they shot him out. Sylvia Christel, the original. Like, the belief behind this project going into 1992-93 would have been that we are honoring the franchise and also possibly creating a new way to create, you know, to shoot out films. Like, they're treating a film franchise like a TV show. And think of all the locations they're going to. Like, these films are so expensive.
You're so right. They cut so many corners to make such a budget product in some ways, but then clearly shot in Hong Kong and India just inside of this one film.
They go to so many different countries in all of these films. But it looks like what we're in for, Tim. This is 2 of 7, and whether or not we're watching these in chronological order or not is, to me, by the by at this point. It seems like we're about to watch 7 movies of Sylvia Christel describing to George Lazenby what she did with the perfume. And it's upsetting to say, but that is not as engrossing as it sounds. And if you ask my penis, it's not as engorging either.
Ugh.
Important to note that this is our first late night record. We are apart, physically distant, and it's 11:16 p.m. on a Thursday. you're researching. You're not listening to me. We're not connecting. You and I aren't actually interfacing right now, Tim, because you're fucking going down rabbit holes that weren't built for you.
I'll tell you what's happened. And I think this is the case on a few different websites. Where am I right now? Letterboxd? You know letterboxd.com?
Yeah, the movie review site.
So they've got an identical synopsis for Emmanuel's Perfume and Emmanuel's Love, which is the one that we just watched was labeled Emmanuel's Love, and maybe it is, but for some reason on multiple websites, they're all referencing maybe the same IMDb or something. They've got the wrong synopsis in there. I just want to know what one we watched.
I just want to talk... I don't understand why this is such a big block for you from being able to discuss what we just watched.
Because I'm going to do a bad job of explaining
what
happened. Why?
Because you don't know. Because you don't know the title.
I was getting the title for the internet to help me get the plot out.
But no,
what's the first thing you remember?
You've never been a man to take the plot as told by some professional softcore.
I realize that, but listen, I'm a man who knows when he's out of his depth. And guess what? I jumped in the deep end of the pool, and I do not have my inflatables on.
Yeah, I'm the lifeguard, and you listen to me, all right? Okay. I'm sick of watching you try and fucking doggy paddle to the middle of the pool. I'm like half a meter away from you. I'm looking you in the eyes saying, hey, stop trying to remember what the different swimming strokes are called. And come sit on the side of the fucking pool with me.
All right. I'm with you.
All right. Thank you. Now that you're sitting here and your feet are dangling in the water and you feel like you've had a stern telling off, but you also feel quite safe, can you tell me what was going on when you were in the deep end of the pool?
What do we know? There's a fucking business deal which seems pretty instrumental to the plot here. And... I can't remember. Okay, so this, like the last film, is kind of done in three acts. The first involves Nikki and Emmanuel. And Emmanuel and Nikki are friends. And Nikki is quite a scatty-brained woman who has fallen in love with her boss. And I think that they live in Hong Kong. I believe
they're traveling. They travel a lot for work.
Got it. So I think they're in Hong Kong on a work trip in a hotel. Emmanuel helps her out by using the perfume power to transform into her because Nikki is very unconfident and a bit of a klutz. So now here's the fucking thing of it. They've changed how the perfume works in this one to a way more sensible version of it, I think, which is that she takes the perfume and transforms into the physical appearance of anyone she wants. Which is like, yeah, should have done that from the start rather than being a ghost voice the woman around.
But they explore different applications of it even within this because they only do that once. But later on,
that's true.
So far, in the two films we've seen where this potion is like the central conceit that sort of drives the movies, they've explored every different application. Like there's no confidence in themselves. They've explored every different application.
I wrote down the lion guy. Almost at the end of the film, Emmanuel says, my only fear was that the perfume would wear off and that the spirit of Sonya would take possession of her body again. So that suggests that when she uses it later, now we've got a situation where Emmanuel enters the body of the woman and then that person's consciousness is in some sort of terrifying limbo.
Yeah. Where does it go?
That's fucking scary, dude.
And also, if that's what's happening, if instead of changing your physical body to represent and be someone else, but still moving through the world as a normal person, if what instead you're doing is leaving your body and entering as a soul someone else's body, what happens to the body you've left behind? Like, where does that bag of bones collapse?
Oh, do you mean Emmanuel's?
Yeah.
So that it seems to me that the way they were showing that is she was always on a train when it was happening and masturbating.
There was a different bit. She wasn't masturbating in those moments. She was
She was kind of like
she was like
feeling,
a sexual voodoo.
Yeah, she was feeling the physicality of getting fucked, of being engaged in the act of coitus as the other woman. A sexual voodoo doll is the perfect articulation.
I'm very intelligent. I just want to circle back to when I was describing Hitch, because I do think that there are similarities in the application of Emmanuel the first time with Nikki, when she sort of helps her conquer her fears and initiate sex with her boss.
Real sitcom setup, eh?
Well, yeah, it's what Hitch does. He believes he gives characters like Kevin James the tools to be confident within themselves so that they can, you know, express the best version of themselves to potential partners. And whereas Hitch does this through side coaching and then leaving Kevin James to go and explore it himself, in Emmanuel, the application is much more literal, where she takes on the body and is like, fine, I have to do this my fucking self. And she goes out and seduces him. And then when the guy's barred up and ready to go, she's like, no, 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 I'm just going to go to the bathroom. And then goes and gives this other woman, who is her, a pep talk.
Can I tell you this? The woman, Nikki, who is trying to have sex with her boss, goes to the bathroom 4 times inside of 10 minutes. And then when things just kick off and start getting a bit hot and heavy, she goes to the bathroom for the 5th time, takes ages. There is no doubt in my mind, if I'm her boss, that she has some sort of stomach problem, that she's like, this is, I don't think this is the best time for fucking.
That is the impression I would have that I got.
She also, they've ordered dinner. They were supposed to go out to dinner, and then Emmanuel, as Nikki, is like, let's order in. Let's not leave the hotel. Let's stay right here and eat our food and see what happens, come what may. And he's like, fuck yeah, this rules. And then Nikki comes back out, timid, real Nikki, and she's like, sees the seafood, and she's like, fucking gross, man. This looks disgusting. And she's like, I've lost my appetite. Now I have to go to the bathroom. And so she goes, switches clothes with Emmanuel, which is an act that would take about 10 minutes. There's so many items.
I know,
and,
I kept thinking, but
hold
like,
on. Then she comes out and goes, I've had a change of heart. Let's eat now. This woman has obviously taken a massive shit. There's no getting around it. She's cleared the decks for the main course.
The two of them guzzle food with as much disgusting enthusiasm as the bandmates did in the previous iteration. This particular franchise, I live in fear of anything edible coming onto the screen, because I know that they're going to render it unusable to me for the rest of my fucking life. They take these very thin, wet slices of tomato and tongue them as though they're each other's genitals. It is honestly enough to make your stomach churn.
I didn't think she did too badly with the tomato slice, to her credit, but and with then, the squid rings or whatever that was,
there was some sort of soft, cold egg roll in play at one point. Not erotic textures or temperatures. Anyway, this sort of back and forth keeps happening until eventually he's like, what is going on in that bathroom? And just comes in, and there's two of them. There's two of the same woman, and he's like, nice. And both of them are super horny for him at this point, and they're like, you got it. And they all have this phenomenal transcendent sexual experience. And then I guess the next morning Emmanuel leaves and changes back into her body. And this sort of, I know that it's not their job to resolve all of the story that they set up in this movie. It's their job to make me horny. By the way, they failed on 2 counts. Aww. But their relationship is then like begins in earnest. And this super chilled out dude doesn't seem to have any questions about the fact that the night they met, he had a threesome with his partner and her identical twin sister, and then never saw hide nor hair of her again.
Yeah, that's it. That was just the first act, though. Then we had this whole second story with Sonia. Right?
And the second story is like, connected. Now, instead of being in Hong Kong, the same group of business travelers are in India, further along the line, and they're all traveling together on a train. And Emmanuel is there as a friend of the group. And Nikki and her boss, I believe his name's Nico, maybe, they appear to be, they're there, right? I wasn't mistaken. They were on the train.
Fuck, I don't know. I feel like Nikki was, but goddamn, this is, you know, this is where things get hazy.
I think they were. And at this point, their relationship was okay. But then there was another guy, Nikki's boss's business partner, so Nico's potential business partner, who's a restaurateur, who's He's actually, I reckon this guy's more of a wheeler and a dealer than any actual particular trade. I don't think he's a very skilled guy.
If he was on the level, so this movie kicks off with a phenomenal opportunity for this guy, which is 10 million dollar purchase of a restaurant chain, 6 locations, each bringing in $1 million profit annually. That is unheard of. We're talking restaurants in Los Angeles, one in Dallas, Texas, two in Fresno. Oh, Fresno. I thought it was Fresno.
Frisco. Like, that's San Francisco. Colloquialism for San Fran that he was using.
Gotcha. That makes more sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree that the sell was good, but this guy is, he's oily as all hell. He's not trustworthy.
If I would do my due diligence and if he could verify what he's saying, that each one of these locations is pulling $1 million profit a year, man, that's worth a lot more than 10 mil. Plus, then you own the entire franchise. Think of the franchising opportunities. It's not just the locations that you've got. You've now got incredible opportunity to expand.
I don't know. He just doesn't give enough information. It's just all of the glossy top line stuff. There's no fine print. There's no details over.
Mate,
do
I'm
they
interested.
Own any of these buildings? Do they lease all of them? Like, is that $1 million, you know, without taking out overheads and whatever it costs to actually operate
profit.
The franchise?
He describes
How do you know
it,
it's profit?
Because he says $1 million profit each.
I didn't even say profit. That is a sweetener.
It's huge.
Are you telling me we should go in on this?
Dude, I hear what you're saying about him not being super trustworthy, but just on the off chance that this is on the level, you need to seize these arbitrage opportunities when they come to you, because every now and then they're real.
But
most
Tim,
stuff that sounds too good to be true is, but every now and then you'll get a chance and you got to take it, my friend. You've got to look into it.
Arbitrage. Well, you know what I say.
Yeah.
I say, if you've got the ingredients there, you've got to crumb the fish. But tell me this, what does arbitrage mean?
It's a unique financial opportunity to make an unusual amount of money.
That's
how I would describe it.
Buying a house in the 70s.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But basically, the second act is they're on this train ride. Now the focus goes to this different couple who are in an unhappy relationship. And one of the two people in it is this shady businessman who's trying to, you know, it sounds like he's trying to sell things at a loss to himself. His whole subplot is about business dealings. Like, this movie has a surprisingly high assumption of the financial literacy levels of its audience. And also of their interest in following along as different characters swindle and negotiate for different amounts of money.
This is where I really lost. This is what I wanted the plot for, because this is where I lost the thread.
Why don't you tell me what you saw?
Emmanuel is friends, I think, with, I'm going to call her Sonia. Emmanuel as Sonia tricks a guy who I can't remember who he is into investing $2 million fund. Okay.
So Emmanuel is friends with Sonia, we'll call her.
Mm-hmm.
And Sonia is in this really unhappy situation with this guy who's the same wheeler and dealer, the aforementioned that we've just spent about 5 minutes discussing. All right. So they're together, they're on this train. Nikki and Nico are also on the train, but they're like, at this moment in time, they're happy in their relationship. They're sort of just cruising. They're not to be, you know, worried about. There's another couple who we don't actually get a lot of information about, but there's a woman and a man, and they're like, he seems to be into some slightly mystic shit. Like, at one point, we get this really prolonged scene where he delivers like a hypnogasm to his partner. They go into their little carriage in the train, and he just stares at her and moves his hands, and you know, her body writhes in perfect synchronicity with his movements.
Basically the thing that Sting has been working his way up to for his entire life.
That's right. And then you've got this other couple who is the Wheeler and Dealer, who we'll call Wheeler, as in Wheeler, the
as fire, in Wheeler's Deal.
I was thinking of the Wheeler from Power Rangers. Not Power Rangers. What was it? Captain Planet. He had the power of fire. He's the redhead. I had his action figure. A lot of love for the guy. What was my favorite, though? My favorite was actually Kwame with the power of earth. He just moved huge chunks of dirt. I mean, I understand that the messaging on that show was save the planet.
Yeah.
But the reckless abandon with which these people would manipulate and use the planet to upset the villains was probably as disruptive as what the villains were planning to do in the first place.
You've got a point there, mate, because
consequences if you create a tsunami to stop someone from fucking, you know, stealing a bag of toxic waste.
Mate, I believe it was Linka from the Soviet Union who had the control of the oceans, and she was creating tidal waves left, right, and center. And the thing you've got to know about that is there is a massive path and wake to that activity getting 100%. To the enemy.
I hear you. So we'll call this guy Wheeler, and he is...
I think Whoopi Goldberg voiced Gaia. I think that's true.
Well, I'll bet you that you're going to look that up instead of listening to my sage words of reflection and wisdom as I try and re-articulate the disappointing softcore pornographic film you just watched to you so that you can rest easy with the context that we shared this experience.
Was it Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah,
thank you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And so Wheeler, he's on the train and he's in this unhappy situation with this woman who we're calling Sonia. And that's Emmanuel's friend. That's Emmanuel's point of connection. And Emmanuel sees that they're unhappy and she talks to Sonia and she says, what's going on? And Sonny's like, he's not having sex with me. I know he's been having sex with someone else. And also he's been in charge of, like, she's an heiress of some description and he's been in charge of her funds and she doesn't really know what's happening and she can't really leave the relationship because he's in control of the funds. And Emmanuel goes, don't worry, I can fuck our way out of this. And so she takes on the persona of someone who's totally unrelated to anyone on the train. She takes on an entirely new body with an entirely new name. We'll call her Tanya. And she introduces herself as Sonia's friend Tanya, unrelated to the group as it exists, and immediately goes to work on seducing Wheeler. And also, for reference, hold on, now I'm getting confused.
Let's just follow this as you've laid it out. What's really amazing in the movie is that Tanya lays out loud like a pretty complicated sequence of financial goings on that this guy has to fall into the trap of. She presents a situation where she has a, from memory, $55 million fund, which her uncle is in control of, but she travels around the world doing on-the-ground research for opportunities to invest it in. So she sort of says this while getting into a state of undress to seduce this man and kind of like, quote unquote, you can't see I'm doing air quotes here, let's slip that there is a fund which is about to open up tomorrow, which is going to generate a whole lot of investor interest and basically make the people who are holding the shares in this company incredibly wealthy. So then he gets on the phone, like, as he's trying to he's pouring at her, but he's also so desperate to, he wants to fuck and he wants to make money. So he gets on the phone to who I only assume is his secretary and gives them the strict instructions to invest $2 million sight unseen without any approval from the board of directors or even an accountant to be wired over to buy into this company. And then they fuck. And so I guess now she's got $2 million of money.
They go to start fucking, but then all of the old crew from the train come piling into the room and they're like, they start fucking and she starts sucking on her thumb.
Yes.
And then
he's
do you know where I got it twisted here? Do you know what the vital point that I missed?
Finish the thumb thing, because this will solve everything. I know, but this will bring people along.
The resolution of the thumb thing traces back to this. Emmanuel doesn't assume, and this is another exploration of the potion, Emmanuel doesn't assume the role of Tanya the friend.
Fuck,
Emmanuel,
that's right.
Emmanuel instead gives the potion to Sonia and is like, hey, Sonia, put this on. You're going to take on a different body. You're going to say you're Tanya. You're going to go and you're going to seduce the guy who you've been fucking, who you don't like. And this is how we're going to get him. And so that's what happens. And then,
but Sonia's got the habit of when she is about to orgasm, she sucks on her own thumb.
That's right.
And so when this brand new woman does this, the guy's like, I know what the most likely explanation is here. This completely different woman is my actual partner, and I've been had.
And then and as he discovers he's been had, everyone piles on and they go, Nenor, Nenor, gotcha, gotcha. And he goes, Skinner! Words to that effect. And then the third act, which is by far the craziest, is that we return to Nikki, and she is not in a good way. They're back in San Fran, and she is at the end of the rope. By the way, all of these scenes punctuated by the very laggy sort of mumbled dialogue between Sylvia Christel and George Lazenby as they fumble through this totally unnecessary exposition. But I guess that they're name value actors, and so it's important that they get their screen time. Halfway through the movie, Tim, I was also on Twitter and I saw you just tweeted out, George Lazenby's voice is so deep in the Emmanuel series, it's really cool. And I laughed for about 5 minutes at the fact that you thought that and also bothered to share it. Who was that for? Literally, who was that observation for?
It was literally for you. The second tweet that I sent out was, the Emmanuel series would have you believe life is all sucking, fucking, going to Hong Kong and making million-dollar business deals. It isn't.
Yeah.
I thought that was worth sharing.
That one's certainly much more broadly accessible than your very niche observation that you were in that moment of time enjoying George Lazenby's voice. Pretty much, though, the third act is Nikki is, they go quite meta. Like, to their credit, this movie makes a lot of swings and misses, but they do take some pretty big swings. At this point, we're back in San Francisco, and Emmanuel's visiting Nikki because Nikki's not in a particularly good way. And Sylvia Christel, she preloads this anecdote to George Lazenby by saying, this last one I'm not so proud of. And she starts talking about going to visit Nikki. She arrives and Nikki is on the set of a porn film that's being filmed in her apartment. And so I feel like this is sort of a tongue-in-cheek opportunity to lampoon, you know, the very, you know, it's not quite a snake eating its tail, but like to lampoon the making of pornographic films, or perhaps they had bad blood with a different pornographic franchise and they were spoofing them by doing this. But pretty much we have this really seedy kind of, in inverted commas, cool guy director who's just encouraging two people to fuck harder. And meanwhile, Nikki's rented out her apartment, and because this is how porn works, if you rent your apartment for the film to be set there, you just get to keep hanging out in your apartment and watching the porn being made.
Well, Monty, I hate to correct you, but I do congratulate myself on trying desperately to pay attention to what was going on. It is not Nikki's apartment. They are on a boat, and she does not own it. It is a friend's houseboat that she is currently staying in. That's how she was able to try to end her life, by jumping
off
into the water.
Yeah, yeah. Might I ask then about this rental agreement? Does that mean that Nikki's not in a great way? She's freeloading off her friend on the houseboat, and her friend was like, hey, you can stay there, all good, don't worry about paying me. Just so you know, in a couple of days, I've kind of let the boat out.
It's even better. Nikki arranged this. She explains that. She said she was bored and looking for a bit of fun. So someone has done her a real solid in her time of need. Like, a friend has reached out with their, you know, albeit admittedly pretty extensive resources, and been like, look, I've got a houseboat. Maybe this is exactly what you need. Unplug, unwind, get away from everything, be on the ocean, be one with nature. It could do you a world of good. And she's gone, yeah, cool, 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 cool. And then booked a pornographic film crew to come around and shoot while she's supposed to be in respite. Like,
yeah.
My God.
Anyway, so this is all happening. And that's all, like, that's genuinely, that is like The Simpsons making that itchy and scratchy and poochy episode. Like, in terms of self-reference and kind of trying to have fun inside of itself. But that happens. There's a porn happening, and Emmanuel visits Nikki, and Nikki's not great. And she's like, oh, Nico and I are not boning, and it's all gone to the dogs. And Emmanuel's like, haha, I know. And she assumes the body of another brand new smoking hot vixen. And instead of really doing anything to help out her friend Nikki, she just starts fucking the absolute brains out of this dude. And she's like, she's telling, I actually wrote it. I can get the exact quote for you. I sent it to you, Tim.
I would love that.
I didn't. I don't think I did.
Yeah, I don't think you'd sent it to me, but did you write it?
I wrote it. I was going to tweet it out, but then it was too horny and there wasn't enough context. But pretty much she's like, it wasn't allowed. It was naughty. It was carnal. It was perfect. And it was divine. And
divine sticks out. She definitely said that.
They have this incredible sex, and then she's like, feeling really sheepish, and she wants to skip town because Nikki's gone for a swim and, you know, said that she was trying to throw herself off the boat. And then the guy comes, and Nikki's also pregnant. What happened?
Oh, yeah, forgot that. And she is now pregnant.
Blah, blah, blah. Emmanuel's
worried. She gets pregnant. She gets pregnant, and then the guy we're calling Nico, who's the boss from earlier, they've broken up, but she is carrying his baby.
Yeah.
So they've got to get back together.
And then Emmanuel fucks him so good and then leaves him and never talks to him again. He's like, God damn, this has got me in a real spin. I'm going to go back to my former partner. And yay, verily, he does. And
yeah, it's a happy ending.
And Sylvia Christel, Emmanuel OG, is like, man, I reckon I used the potion wrong in that instance. And then George Lazenby's like,
because?
Because she wasn't pure of heart. And then George Lazenby's like, nah. If you came that hard, you were definitely pure of heart.
That's not what he says. He congratulates her on re-putting the pieces back together of the relationship. And it's such a convoluted dialogue that he sort of spits out to explain that point.
I would argue my paraphrase is better. And I'd also like to say to you, Tim, a hearty congratulations. Thank you for joining me on the side of the pool. I really feel like
we did so good reconstructing this movie. I was so confused, but maybe I actually wasn't. Maybe I got most of this, and it's just a confusing film.
Yeah, it's a dog shit franchise, and I hate that we have to watch five more of this exact format. Like, what? I guess the only things to look forward to are what country they're going to go to next. We're going to watch a porn in fucking Egypt and Hungary. And
it's always Southeast Asia. They've been in Hong Kong so much.
I'd love to see them come down to New Zealand and bone on the Chatham Islands.
Bro, you and me both. It would be sick as hell. Or maybe one of our custodial countries. What are they called? Like a territory.
Ah.
Anyway, Tokelau is what I'm saying. Let's get some porn shot in Tokelau. I think that would be tremendous.
I don't disagree. I think it's Tokelau, but I reckon I'd be wrong.
I'm saying it wrong. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. or any way you strike it, guys. We're up to I feel like just for reference, a lot of this podcast has been reconstructing the plot, and admirably so. But I would like it on the record that I feel like I'm really in the guts of the franchise now, especially now that I can see we're inside of the same format of this block of Emmanuel films.
Yeah, there is something fitting about these all happening as recollections inside of a conversation that's happening on a plane. Because, you know, when you're on a plane and you feel like you're stateless, and I mean that in the legal sense, you're kind of above any nation's border, and you're without a time zone or connection to like the internet vis-a-vis the world.
I love that feeling.
You're just adrift. And that's what these films feel like. So we've got seven, at least, of this exact feeling.
I mean,
your baby boys are going to space.
I can't wait for that. Because I'm just thinking about it now. It's like, it's so difficult for there to be any urgency to a franchise which is told entirely in flashback. And not a flashback.
Do you know what?
Not a flashback where it's like you go back and you get engrossed in the story and you're in the story the whole time. And then that becomes real time. Like a flashback that keeps coming back to the present day to emphasize the fact that none of these stories are happening right now.
It's true. You do lose any sense of stakes. All of this being said, I want to say this because this is important. I did not hate this movie because this is exactly the kind of shit that I feel like were the ones that were on when I was watching a 13 and 14-year-old. It's like First of all, some of the fashion in this movie was fucking sick. Some of the shit that Emmanuel was wearing in this was legitimately very cool. I think it's just the perfect amount of time has rolled around since 1993 that stuff is back in, or just according to my sensibilities, but she had some very stylish threads. I loved the kind of weird, high concept, like crazy storyline to propel a softcore pornography forward. I loved the bad acting. I loved the incredibly terrible dubs. Like, the bit where they had to do ADR for the kissing, like, at the start, that sent me. That was... Because when I was hearing the dialogue that was recorded over the top, because this is a French language film, and it's all in it. We were watching dubs today, not subs. And I'm grateful for that, because subs, I would have been fucking... It would have been hard. So we had the dubs, and the dubs were so poorly recorded that I couldn't associate it with what was happening on screen because I could, in my head, visualize the environment in which they were recording it, which was a big, echoey, empty room. I was like, this isn't at all matching up with the acoustics that I can see on screen. Really fucked me up.
I love that detailed ear of yours.
All of this shit is like, why are these fucking old people on a plane having a chat? Why the fuck are we all over the world? Like, the storyline is insane. The dubs don't match up. People are kind of having sex. There's a lot of breasts. Like, they'll take any opportunity to show a woman's nipple to me. And it's like that is the hazy memory I have of Sky One porn after midnight as an early teenager.
100%. I think the movies... I didn't like it, but, you know, I just got bothered by it. Just to check in on my own boner patrol, I put a rubber band around my penis, and my penis never really touched the rubber band. So flaccid did it remain. You know, like it was a big rubber band, like a rubber band that...
So confused by how this works.
Well, it was like a rubber band that was hanging loose around my penis, and it hung loose around... Oh, this is gross.
Yeah, I hate all of this. So thank you very much for joining us.
You got to check in, though. What was your boner patrol?
Oh, not a stirring. But I don't know why I said but. That's the whole sentence.
I wish I really left with a nasty taste in the mouth of the listener.
I was going to promote our Patreon, but I don't think I can after you talked about putting a rubber band on your penis. So I won't.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.